10 minutes felt like an hour. And probably some of you, 10 minutes felt like 10 seconds. You could have done it for another couple hours. It's refreshing. It's good for our soul to observe beauty, because we don't do that. We oftentimes just kind of rush through our day and we're moving and we don't stop to see the enormity of a tree or a trunk or a bark and think about God's creativity. And just kind of see what that does for our soul to just spend some time observing beauty, whether it be in a little child or, just kind of all the different ways that we can see beauty. Anybody just had a thought or something that came to mind as they were observing? Yeah. You didn't, you said.
Didn't.
No. Yeah.
But I did.
You did?
So that's beauty too. It's creative.
Yeah.
You contrast the two.
If you want to know where we were talking about the kingdom of heaven and the celebration, the banquet feast, it's actually happening in the kids' room right now. They're playing the music of Jesus right now. Brian, if you want to just add that one to the playlist at the end.
What's that?
This yeah, so if you want to. any other thoughts on beauty or what you observed or kind of what that did to your soul? Where did you know it?
Mark? I found the clouds over here remind me of my happy place I go to whenever I have my blood pressure check. Myself there on a spring day, a nice cool breeze, clouds and the sun peeking through and seeing beams of sunlight come down, it calms me down. Anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just shared with Javier that that's a very biblical truth. People might think, well, you're not preaching the Bible. But I think there's a lot of biblical truths, because Jesus said, consider the birds. You know, they're not out there sowing or planting or reaping. And so the Lord was constantly looking, or our Lord was constantly looking at these things, but he's teaching us from creation that he talked about the lily. And you have in Proverbs where he talks about, he says, I walked by the field of the sluggard, and I observed sleep, folding of the hands, and the poverty shall come upon him like an amen. So I think that that's a beautiful thing, you know, just to constantly look and be learning as we look into life and in Christ himself.
Yeah, and again, in this kind of theme of being present and exercises for us to practice presence, and I think just be a little bit more mindful about what God might be saying to us in the moment instead of being too caught up in what's being anxious about what's going to happen in the future or regretful about what's going to happen in the past. I think the observation of beauty, the awareness of the beauty that's around us is a very, very helpful piece of a vibrant relationship with Christ. So thank you, Lord, for green on blue. Anybody say that while they are out there? You might say that at some point. That's good old Eddie Rybarczyk. Thank you, Lord, for green on blue. And you'll see a tree and the way it's contrasted against the sky, or you'll see a meadow and the way it's contrasted against the sky, and you'll say, thank you, Lord, for green on blue. Last thing I want to do is talk about gratitude. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, it's only with gratitude that life becomes rich. And G.K. Chesterton says, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. What I want to do to finish up this morning is we're going to practice this, and we're going to encourage one another with our gratefulness, with our gratitude, with our thankfulness. So I have five things that I want us to talk about. God, and I want you to say something you're thankful for God about. It could be God's humor. Sometimes I just find God so incredibly funny in my relationship with him. Sometimes you thank God for his forgiveness, for his gentleness, for his love. I want you to think about something that you're thankful towards God for, I want you to think about a person you're thankful for. I want you to think about a life circumstance, something that's going on in your life that you're thankful for. I want you to think about a difficulty that you can find gratitude in. And I want you to think something about this church that you're thankful for. So what we'll do, here's how it's going to go. I'll give you a minute or so to kind of think about this and formulate at least one or two answers. We're going to start with God, and I will say something about God, and then Brian's going to go, Devin, Kat, we'll just go around the church, we'll all just say one thing, and then we're going to go to a person. Dietrich, you're going to start then with the person, and it's going to go back this way, right? Brian, you're going to talk about, I'll talk about life circumstance. Dietrich, you doing all right? And then we'll just go back one more time. And the thing I think that will happen here too is, my hope in what will happen here is that will encourage us to hear and to express our thankfulness and our gratitude. Instead of just keeping that to ourselves, when you're around people who are thankful and who are grateful and realize all the things that we have to be thankful and grateful for, it does something to our soul. It transforms our soul from kind of that consumer, what am I getting out of it, that selfish mentality, to a, just a grateful soul. Again, as Mr. Bonhoeffer says, it's only with gratitude that life becomes rich. So I'll start, and I'm going to say the thing that I'm thankful for God about, the thing I'm grateful for God about, I find God so incredibly funny in my conversations with him and the way that he speaks to me. And so I'm thankful for that, that he uses humor when I engage God. Mr. Brian?
Something I've been thinking about a lot lately is just there's sometimes it's tempting for me, even as a long-time believer.
Yeah, it's just good to, it's just always good to gather together, to turn our eyes towards you, to meet with you, to seek you, to listen for to your voice. And that's why we're here, God, is, again, we always say that we're here to hear your voice, and then respond appropriately, respond obediently to your voice. Thank you, Father. Again, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us, maybe through this teaching, through these experiences we're about to engage this morning, through the Eucharist, through the music, through the fellowship. I just ask that you would speak to us, that we would hear your voice. Thank you, Lord. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay.
Is that Hendrix?
Is Donna back there? Yeah. Okay. He'll try to break America.
I love it.
He'll get there.
I'm going to talk really loud, and that way it'll just drown out. I will talk really loud and you will not hear yourself. So we have this, morning, Jessica, morning, Tony. We have this interesting time of the year right now where we are coming out of 2018, as I mistaked on this particular slide. We're coming out of 2018. And 2018, this kind of year, maybe this actually happens a few weeks ago. But in 2018, at the end of the year, you always kind of get these best of lists. Any suckers for those out there? Who's the suckers for the best of list? So if you did, I didn't actually get too sucked into this when I was preparing the sermon. But if you do the Google search and you know they have the predictive kind of the piece here, you have the best of music and movies and songs and albums and TV and OC Weekly and books and KCRW. And memes. So you kind of see what the best of happens for Google. And I thought, well, what about the other search engines? We can't just talk about Google. So Yahoo is the best of Instagram is up there. Lists, mashups, Olympics. And then just for all you Microsoft folks out there, the best of Bing. Songs, music, movies, books, toys, SEMA, and Netflix. So we have this like kind of this, and anybody like, oh man, I could just spend an afternoon looking at all those different best of. You have this kind of interesting end of the year where everybody looks back on 2018 and says, what was 2018 all about? And then you have the flip side of that where everybody's probably more in the mode of, what are we thinking about now?
New Year.
goals, resolutions. So you have the resolution list, a template, the resolutions that are funny. If you want to go search it on Reddit, images, quotes, meaning. I don't know what resolutions 2019 the place is. NCFCA 2019 resolutions. Again, but you know, you kind of have all these resolutions. Where are my goal resolution? Write it down. Where are my people out there? Deetra, have you done it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready to go for 2019? Anyone else? Joanne? Anyone else? I think that now's not a good time to do it. I kind of wait till about February, because when you come out of the holidays, I'm so like kind of bewildered, and I'm like, what in the world just happened in the last 6 weeks? And so I like to give myself a little space to kind of then launch into maybe like February is kind of about when I'll think about it. But yeah, I'll write down some goals and some lists and some things I want to get done. But we're in these two conflicting frames of references where we've just kind of come out and we're just thinking, oh, about 2018 and all this sorts of stuff. And then we're in thinking about 2019, and we're in between this, I would say. And maybe you don't think about this, you know, or spend time thinking about this, but there is this kind of moment here where you think back or you're thinking forward. And so as I was meditating on all this stuff about a month ago, I was happened to be riding my bike, and I thought about this. And here's the email that I just kind of composed to myself. I said, January 6th teaching, I said, I want to do a sermon on being present. Not looking back, not looking forward. What does it mean just to be present in the moment? Here and now. We spend so much time, again, and I'm a sucker for the best of lists and thinking back and all those sorts of things. And then we get all hyped up and excited about thinking forward and all the things we're going to do. What does it look like for us just to be present in the moment and just to experience a present attitude, right? And so this month ago, again, January 6th, and this I wrote this down about a month ago. And then I replied to that a little bit later, and I said, I want to think about gratitude. I want to think about beauty. I was listening to some stuff about beauty on a podcast that I was listening to by one of my professors that I had in college. And I want to do also, I'm going to kind of mix in a meditation on this. So we're going to spend some time just being present this morning. And we're just going to kind of ignore time a little bit. I was thinking about my daughter, as I was thinking about this teaching on present, I'm thinking about my daughter, Jeanette. And Jeanette's 4. And Jeanette has children have no concept of time, right? What is time to them? Well, there's time to play. There's time to go to school. There's time to eat. There's time to go to bed. Like, they don't think like, well, it's 10:30 right now. Eric's got about 30 more minutes. And then, you know, they have no concept. I love this quote by Jean de La Bouyère. It says this: children neither have a past nor a future. Thus they enjoy the present, which seldom happens to us. How much of our lives do we just think about the past or the future or what's going to happen? Think about the newspaper, right? Dad, you were talking about the news this morning. How much of the news is predictions about what might happen? Such and such might happen. Trump might do this. The economy might do that. So-and-so's might happen. And again, just to experience a moment and just say all the stuff, all the distractions, all that kind of stuff doesn't matter. Let's just be present in the moment. So again, the three things I want to do this morning is I want to lead us into meditation, which I haven't done for a while. I want to spend a little bit of time with beauty, and then we'll end with gratitude and then the Eucharist as well. So let's open by a meditation. And we've done this before, so some of my brothers and sisters who've been here all 8 years, I've led a couple meditations here, but it'll kind of be the similar format. So I would encourage you as we get into this, maybe just kind of find a comfortable position. Just be trying to be as relaxed as you can. And then let's close our eyes. And just take a few, I would just say, take a few deep cleansing breaths. And just relax your posture. Be loose but straight. Just feel your shoulders drop. Relax your shoulders. Relax your arms, your legs. Take three deep cleansing breaths. And there's no worries right now. There's no hurry. And perhaps even right now, as you're relaxing and as you're just kind of settling yourself, things are coming to your mind. And it's helpful when you do this exercise that if something comes to your mind, acknowledge it, and just set it aside. This morning I want us to meditate. I want us to enter into what it would be like dwelling and abiding in the kingdom of God. What is it like for you to live, to dwell, to abide in the kingdom of God? Imagine in this moment that you live in a village and Jesus is the ruler of that village. How do people interact with one another in this village? People of different ages, people of different races, people of different socioeconomic backgrounds. What interactions come to mind as you think of the people living in this village that is run by Jesus? I want you to think about economics in this village. How is money used? When you think about your finances in this village, how is your finances a reflection of the ruler of your village? What kind of laws would be important? Are the laws written? Are the laws observed by everyone? What kind of a citizen would you want to be? What kind of a person would you desire to be as you dwell in this kingdom of God, in this village of Jesus? What kind of a member would you aspire to be? as you're thinking about this village and you're thinking about this people moving and working around, do you see borders and walls around this village? Does this make you feel anxious or frightened? Are you concerned? What kind of threats? What kind of dangers might this village face? Might you encounter as you live in this village? Jesus, in describing the kingdom of God, or as we're imagining it this morning, the village of Jesus, as Jesus was describing this, he said that his Father's kingdom is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. At the center of God's kingdom, at the center of Jesus' village, is a massive banquet, a celebration prepared by the king himself. And you've been invited. And you have been invited. And so you show up to this celebration at the center of the kingdom of God, at the center of this village. Who are you eating with? Do you see any of your enemies there, or maybe people you just don't like at the moment? How do you feel about them eating at this banquet with you? At one point, Jesus comes to you and he pulls you aside and he says, "Hey, let's go take a walk." What would you tell Jesus? What would Jesus tell you? Jesus told his followers that the kingdom of God is near you. It is at hand and it is available. You right now are sitting at the banquet table. You are living in the kingdom of God. Imagine yourself living in this kingdom, living in this village. There's nothing to fear. You have complete trust, pure joy. I want you to picture yourself safe in the kingdom of heaven. Is there anything in your life that might hold you back from being fully engaged with this celebration? From being fully present in God's kingdom. And would you confess that to your king? But be aware of his forgiveness towards you. Take a minute and slowly repeat to yourself, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Try a different phrase here. Jesus, help me to live a life at harmony in your village. Help me to live a life at harmony in your village. The prophet Daniel said that God's kingdom will last forever, his rule through all generations. God's kingdom will last forever, his rule through all generations. Allow God's generous and gracious rule to free you from the burden of running your own village. Trust that Jesus' village, God's kingdom, is far better than your little village or your kingdom. As we think about being present in this moment, God is inviting you right now to participate in his kingdom, in his village. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. And we'll wrap this up. What I want you to do is you'll take 8 deep breaths and you will inhale the kingdom of God, the village of Jesus. You'll imagine God's kingdom literally filling your lungs, filling your body with its power, with its grace, with its love, with its joy. And you'll exhale, you'll release the anxiety, the stress, the ways that we try and run our own kingdom, the things we hold on to, the bitterness. You'll inhale God's kingdom. You'll exhale your own little kingdom. So as we close here, do that 8 times. Just imagine yourself inhaling God's kingdom, deep breaths, and exhaling your kingdom. And when you're ready, you may open your eyes. Couple more, two more. Let's talk about beauty. It's funny, when I do that, I always try and meditate myself and then realize I can't meditate and leave the meditation at the same time. So I'm always kind of caught in between. But let's talk about beauty for a second. And these pictures probably don't do it quite the amount of justice, but I want to just think about or just show a few images here. And I don't even know where these are from, but obviously just some beautiful cathedrals. Here's one. Here's another one. Be nice to do a meditation in there, wouldn't it?
Is that Notre Dame?
I don't think that's Notre Dame. Is it?
It looks like
it. Oh, it could be, because, yeah, it could be. Here's one more. You know, the interesting thing about Protestants, I think the Catholics, the Eastern Orthodox, do a far better job at incorporating beauty into their theologies. And, you know, here we meet, and we have a nice facility, but nobody's going to ever come in here and be like, wow, I can't wait to go into that church and just go observe the beauty of the beautiful buttresses that we have here. Wow. Protestants, we just don't do a good job in incorporating beauty. I've been thinking about this a little bit more. One of my professors, a guy that I had at Vanguard, his name's Ed Rabarchek. And Mr. Rabarchek says that we don't intentionally bring beauty into our lives. Beauty, for us, it's just not rational. It's not logical. It's not pragmatic. It's not reasoned, right? So we, especially in the West, like to think through these kind of lenses. Does it make sense? Does it work? Does it advance such and such? And we don't do a good job with beauty or just observing beauty or engaging in beauty. We want to think of rational things. We want to think of logical things. We want our PowerPoints to have three points. To spell love, L-O-V-E, living, outstanding, victorious. And we like all these kind of lists and all those. Right, and we kind of have moved away, especially here in the Protestant land. We've moved away from, I would say, just observing and engaging the beauty of God. And the theme of just kind of being here and present. I want to spend a little time with beauty this morning. And one of the things that we're so lucky, and we don't probably think about this that often, is we are so lucky to meet here in a park. We are not in an industrial complex. We are not in a warehouse facility. Our back doors open to a very, 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 in my opinion, a very, very nice and beautiful park. There's times in the fall, usually kind of happens around November after the time change, and sometimes I'll be working here at the teen center at the rec hall, and both back doors will open, and the sun will kind of be setting through that massive tree that's out there right by the park. The sun's kind of setting through there. The leaves are changing color. There's kids, there's some kids playing on the basketball courts, and there's little kids running around at the park, and there's, you know, kids just, and there's just all this happening, and to me it's one of the most beautiful images or pictures that I get to experience during the week. And so what I want us to do this morning is I want us to just kind of go spend some time observing beauty, and I want us to get, again, if this is beautiful for you and you want to meditate and hear on beauty, you're more than welcome, but I'd like for us to come back here at about 11 o'clock. It's 10:48, so about 5 to 10 minutes. I'd like you to just go get outside. And I want you to just go, here's the assignment, is just to go observe beauty. And that might be creation. It might be something with physical nature. It might be humanity. You might see little kids out there. You might see something about a different human being that's just beautiful. My professor, Ed, he has this prayer that he says, He just has this simple prayer. Thank you, Lord, for green on blue. We were in the mountains this week, and we happened to see the mountain, the horizon of the mountain with just the trees and the green trees and then the blue sky. And again, it's this beautiful image of green on blue. And so just, again, 5 to 10 minutes observing beauty, and just see what happens in your heart as you walk around and observe beauty. Any questions? Simple enough? Come back in about 10 minutes and we'll just finish one last thing, okay?